Well, good morning, everyone. It's Donna, and I want to welcome you to 21 Days of Empowering You for Breakthrough. Like everyone, I have areas in my life, and my co-host, Deanna Allen, does as well, where we need breakthrough, and we've actually prayed together for 21 days. We already completed that. Last year, we began in January with 90 days of prayer, and I don't think we ever missed a day, maybe one, but 90 days of prayer. So we wanted to open that up. The Lord spoke to us and said, look, if you want to be empowered for breakthrough in areas of your life, what I want you to do is forget about yourself, go help other people get their breakthrough, and while you're busy about my business of empowering others, I'm going to be faithful to take care of areas in your life where you're asking for me to give you breakthrough. And that really ties in to what I want to teach today. We're very excited about the message and the word that we have for today. We're going to open up the lines at the end. We're going to pray for empowerment and breakthrough over one of you, and we're already seeing God doing amazing things. We're only on day three, and already people are saying that their lives are being changed. I want you to know that we're sowing this as a seed into the body of Christ, and that's why we're not charging anything. We're doing this as a free gift to the body of Christ, so feel free to go ahead and invite your friends, women from your church, women in your community, to go ahead and tune in each day, stand alone. No one has to feel like, oh, I missed the first 2 days. It's not like that. Each day we're going to have that fresh manna for you to come and gather for the day. So feel free to post it on your Facebook page, and you can post the replays, you can post the invitation, but let's go ahead and spread this far and wide to the body of Christ and, of course, to those who need to know the Lord. Deanna, with that, would you go ahead and open us in prayer, and then I'm going to do have a little teaching, and then Deanna will share her word for the day. I believe she'll have a little devotional, and then we'll have our time to pray for one of you to break through. Deanna, can you go ahead and open?
Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before your presence, and we ask, Lord, for all that you are, all that you are. We don't ask first, Father God, for all that you have for us. We know that you have so much for us. But we worship you. We exalt your holy name. We ask that you would be magnified in the earth. We give you permission to speak to the areas of our life, even those, Father God, that we're unaware of, those that we're ashamed of, those that we've kind of tucked away in the darkness and put back into the corners of our lives and ask, you know, please just don't shine light back there. I just don't want to know what's back there. We do want to know what's back there. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you would open us up today with your love and with your revelation, that you would speak through Donna, you would speak through me, that you would speak directly into the hearts of those that are listening. I thank you that today that you said that those who have ears to hear, let them hear, and that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we fully anticipate your word this morning. Breathe on us, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, and thank you, Deanna. And we're all going to be interceding for you throughout this call, that at the end, when it's your turn to really share, that the Lord is going to just supernaturally empower you in your spirit, even though in your body I know you're feeling kind of awful. So I want to share a little bit, and I've been doing acronyms because those of you who have been following along know I have lost my glasses, so I can't read and I can't write, but I'm scribbling very large notes onto pieces of paper and turning them into acronyms, and I do have an acronym for you at the end, but let me just kind of share what the Lord was giving me this morning, my own time of feeding and getting filled. I want to pour forth some of that, and then I'll give you a fun little acronym to keep that going. I don't know if I can keep that up for 21 days, but I came up with another one for today. The theme today is this God's idea or mine? Now, sometimes it's much easier to look into a sister's life and or a family member's life and see what the issue is than it is in our own life. And I was kind of inspired by just kind of walking life's journey with some of my friends. And I see in them something that I'm sure goes on in me, but it's not quite as apparent. Is this God's idea or mine? And it's very tempting that if I want something bad enough, if I feel it strongly enough, And I think it's a good idea. And if I'm in that place long enough, then it must be God. And sometimes there's some truth to that, because God places desires in our hearts, and very often our desires really are a clue pointing us to our destiny. And I may talk about that in another session. But today I want to talk about how important it is to be able to divide soul and spirit, because it's not easy. Now, when I speak of the soul, I'm talking about that area, the mind, the will, and the emotions. I want, I think, I feel, and then the spirit is where the Spirit of the Lord, when we accept Christ and the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in our spirit, we are spirit, soul, and body. So our spirit is filled with God. He's in there. All that God is, all that God has, is within our spirit. But as Watchman Nee wrote a book called The Breaking of the Outer Man and the Release of the Spirit, until the outer man is kind of broken away, we're not going to really release all that's inside of us in our spirit. And, of course, Watchman Nee wrote an entire book on it, and I'm going to try to cover some of that in about 2 minutes. But picture that concept, that all that God is, all that he has, it is already within you, and there's just these layers of I want, I think, I feel, my pain, my baggage, my stuff that's wrapped all around that, and it's really blocking us from releasing God's highest and best for our life. So I hope that that's kind of a helpful visual picture. How do we know if it's God's idea or if it's my idea? One of the things I want us to begin to do is to pay attention to our inner dialogue. You know, wherever you go, there you are. You spend all day with you and with your own thoughts. And I want you to begin to pay very careful attention. Are most of your thoughts about yourself, I want, I think, I feel, or are your thoughts filled with concern for others? And even better, are most of your thoughts concerned with God's agenda, what God wants, what God thinks, what he feels? And that's all revealed in the Word of God. So there's an easy way to look at it. If your inner dialogue is filled with scripture and praise and gratitude, that's a clue that you're pretty well tuned in to him. And if you're in that place where you're connecting in the spirit and your thoughts are filled with God and his agenda, his word, his will, his ways, then you're probably on pretty good ground. But if most of your thoughts are about what I want, what I think, what I feel, then you had better be very careful when you're aggressively pursuing a particular agenda, because you may very well be operating in the area of your soul rather than operating in the area of the spirit. And God tells us that we can pray without ceasing. We can come to him without ceasing and say, I thank you, God. I thank you, God, that whatever your will is, you're going to show me. You're not playing tricks on me. You're not trying to confuse me. You're not playing a guessing game. I thank you, God, that you have a hope and a future for me, and you're going to make it plain. And we come to him and say, God, I trust you, God. I trust that you have this day in your hand. I trust that you're going to lead and guide me. How can I honor you today, God? How can I serve you today, God? And to just make it our purpose to be intentionally in agreement with God each day. What does God say? Well, you know, find it in his word. And that's where the power of declaring God's word is so life-changing, because it forces our soul into the background and focuses us on the area of the spirit, that we declare God's word. God, what do you want? What do you think? What do you feel? What do you say? And get into agreement with his word. And be very intentional. Like, and Deanna is doing that for us. Each day she's giving us a word out of God's word that we can pick up and kind of focus on. Yesterday it was mighty. Okay, well, go through the scripture. You know, you can use Bible Gateway and just kind of plug in the word mighty and get all the scripture verses about how mighty God is. And spend the day, rather than thinking, oh, I want a cookie. I want my husband to be nice to me. I want my kids to, you know, get with the program. spend the day declaring, God, you are mighty to save. You are mighty to transform. Lord, I am powerless to change my husband and my kids. I am powerless to turn around my financial situation. But God, you are mighty. You are able. I know that you have a plan for my financial breakthrough. I know that you have a plan, and it's to give me a hope and a future. And so, God, I just agree with you. And so, Lord, while you're busy working on the solutions to my problems, how can I serve you today? How can I be a blessing to someone else today? And be very intentional about choosing to speak out loud and in your spirit and to meditate on what God says and to get alignment with his agenda. And that's why fasting and spiritual disciplines are so powerful. They kill off the soul. Now, I was sitting in church one day several years ago, and I was sitting next to my spiritual father, Hector Torres. He's from Bogota, Colombia. And he leaned over and said, Donna, God's trying to kill you. It's probably better to just die and be done with it. And that's the truth for every one of us, sisters. God's number one goal is to kill you. You're like, whoa, wait a minute. Yeah. He wants you to die to self so that you can be alive to him. That's the paradox of the kingdom of God. If you want to find your life, you have to lose it. If you want to be blessed, you have to take up your cross and follow after him. If you want to be first, you have to be last. If you really want empowerment for breakthrough, if you really want to become all that God has called you to be and to do and to get to that place where you're operating in your destiny, the whole key is dying to you. If you could kill off your soul, if you could kill off everything that you want, you think, and you feel, and come alive to everything that God wants and God thinks and God says and God feels about you and the people around you, that there's the secret right there. Disconnecting from the world, connecting with Christ. And just to give you some practical ideas, choose three things that God has personally said to you through his word. Now, I shared one yesterday. God personally said to me one day from Leviticus, I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with your head held high. So that scripture came alive to me. What's a scripture that's come alive to you that's been a personal word? Another time the Lord spoke to me and said that it's from the Psalms. So the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will never be shaken. What is a scripture verse that's come alive to you? Take that word, write it out, and decree it aloud out of your mouth and meditate on it day and night. God, I thank you that though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet your unfailing love for me can never be shaken. God, I thank you that though it feels like this addiction wants to overtake me again, I stand on your promise. You said that you broke the bars of my yoke and enabled me to walk with my head held high. And Lord, though I'm tempted right now to look in the mirror and say, oh, I hate me. I'm so stupid. I do everything wrong. I can't do anything right. God, you said that you want me to walk with my head held high because of what you've done in my life in the past and because of what you want to do through me in the future. So find those scripture verses that have come to life and then begin to speak them out. Begin to also, and another thing that you can do, begin to pray the solutions rather than the problems. This is one of the biggest mistakes that we make in our Christian life. Oh, God, I'm so broke. Please help me. Pray the solution. God, I thank you that you have provision for me. God, I thank you that you are my provider. And I just agree with you, God, that every good and perfect gift comes down from above. Father, I know that you have good gifts for me. I know that you have treasures available for me, and some of them are financial and some of them are spiritual, but whatever they are, I know that it's all that I need. Thank you, God. Pray the solution, sisters, not the problem. This is one of my frustrations when we go into prayer times. Now, it's changing, but I was at a friend's church, and just a sweet lady, you know, and I went to Sunday school class with her. It was a nice little Baptist church, And they said, now we're going to take prayer requests. I'm not making this up. There was a man at a whiteboard. And for the next 20 minutes, he wrote on the board the name. For some reason, it was like cancer. The name of everybody they could think of who had cancer. My cousin has cancer. Susie, you know, my uncle's brother-in-law's next-door neighbor's boss has cancer. And they just wrote on the board the names of all these people who were sick, and especially with cancer, for 20 minutes. And then and I'm like, this is prayer? And then at the end of that, he said, okay, Bob, we want to pray over that. And Bob's like, God, help the doctors, help all those people with cancer. Amen. And I'm like, this is prayer? Guys, that's not prayer. That's not prayer. That's making a list of problems. Prayer is agreeing with God and praying the solution. Lord, I thank you that though the doctor has given my cousin a bad report of cancer, I agree with you, Lord. I agree with you that you have spoken life, life abundant. You said that Jesus came, that she would have life and have it to the full. And Lord, I thank you that your word says that you have numbered her days, that you have, before she was born, that you had written in your book the number of days that she would live. And I pray that she would live each and every one of them to the fullest, God. Lord, I thank you that you use her to minister to others, however long this journey is, God, that she's going to honor and glorify you in the midst of it. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Do this in your life. It's not about the problem, sisters. Pray the answer. Pray the solution. How do you know if it's God or you? Well, if it's glorious, it's God. If it's filled with hope, it's God. If it's confident that there's a plan and a future and a destiny and a purpose, then it's God. And if it's nothing but problems and oh no and oh me and oh my, that's you, sisters. That's just your soul. That's the easiest way to tell whether operating in the soul or in the spirit, because the spirit is filled with God, and God says there's a hope, there's a future, there's a plan. What dream has God given you? Write the dream down, speak the dream forth, and say, God, I trust you because you put a dream in my heart. You've told me that you're going to take me to Africa. You've told me that you're going to bless me with a child. Whatever it is, I trust you, God, that in your perfect timing, it's going to come to pass. Get in agreement with God and quit focusing on your problem. And you know when you're really moved away from the soul into the spirit is when you can focus on other people. Wow. And I would put this before you, these positive affirmations of what God has spoken, what God has said. Put it on little index cards, make an Instagram poster, make it your screensaver, get a whiteboard, put it on the whiteboard. Take whiteboard markers, write all over your mirrors. You know, whenever you hear yourself saying, I want a cookie, say, thank you, Lord. Your word is my food. My food is to do the will of your will because you sent me. Nobody likes me. Lord, I agree with you. You say I'm surrounded with favor as with a shield. Thank you, God, for favor. Oh, man, my kids are so messed up. I mean, they're just in rebellion. I don't think they're ever coming back. I mean, they're on drugs. They're sleeping around. It's just, they're lost. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for the promise that you've given me that the generation of the upright will be blessed and they'll be mighty in the land. I know that whether it looks hopeless, it may look hopeless right now, but I'm not going to focus on that, God. You say there's a hope and a future for my children, and I've put my trust in you and in your word. Choose your thoughts and make sure they're out of God's word and what he says. Agree with him. Pray the solution, not the problem. Okay, here's the little acronym I made up. Are you ready? It's solution. It's solution. With S being solution, pray the solution, not the problem. Be very aware of your inner dialogue. And if it's all about everything that's wrong in your life and what you want that you don't have right now and what you think that is not working out and why you feel depressed and discouraged, then you need to shift your focus and fill your mind and your soul and your spirit intentionally with the word of God. O is for others. You know you're in alignment with God when your thoughts are filled with how you can help other people. L is for learn, and lean on the Word of God. You can't decree and declare and stand on the Word of God if you don't know what it says. So make it a priority to learn and lean on the Word of God. Turn off the TV and open God's Word. You is upward, upward. Make your focus upward on God and His agenda. T is thought for the day. And again, Deanna is modeling this for you. Take a thought each morning, write it out on an index card and say, today, whenever I don't know what to think about, I'm going to choose to think on this word from the Lord, and I'm going to camp out on it. I'm going to spend the whole day thinking about this word, this truth from God's word. I is intentionally agree with God rather than your circumstances. Okay, I know what it looks like in my marriage right now, but I'm going to intentionally agree with God rather than my circumstances. God, you said there's a hope and a future for this marriage, so I intentionally agree with you. O is obey instantly. I posted this quote the other day on my Facebook page. Don't ask God to show you the next thing until you've been obedient to the last thing. You know, oh God, what do you want me to do? And he's like, obey what I already told you. Okay, so maybe you can make a list of all the things that God has given you, even you know, just today, or everything you know for sure that God has told you to do. Sit and write it down. It may be from His Word, or it may be something personal, some instruction He gave you. God told me in October, He said, Donna, order your private world. Get your private world in order. I'm kind of messy by nature, so it was a big challenge. I mean, Deanna knows, she's walked through this with me. I've organized every drawer, every closet, every shelf, every cabinet, not because I want to and I think it's fun and I feel like doing it. I'm messy. I don't like this stuff. I did it out of obedience because God told me to do it. Obey Him instantly, and then He'll show you the next thing. I don't know what to do. Do the last thing He showed you. And then N is new thing. Believe that God is going to do a new thing in your life. You are not doomed to the past. You are not doomed to repeating the same patterns over and over again. God wants to do a new thing in your life. Behold, it springs up quickly, God says. He has a hope, a plan, and a future for you. Hope that was helpful. Deanna, do you have a word? Do you have a devotional for us today?
Oh, my gosh. I listened to you. You know what? You and I together can be really dangerous in a great kind of a way. I feel like armed and dangerous. You know, the word says that we fan the flame that's within each other, and you just fire me up. I feel like I could do a weekend retreat. I just have all these notes all over, all these prophetic things that come bubbling out. And, man, this is some good stuff. This is some really good stuff. I have a very short thing, and I can see now why the Lord said this morning I was going to be sharing this. He brought, as I was in our prayer time, you know, the couple hours before the call and asking Him, you know, what did He want to accomplish and praying for you, what was He going to give you? He reminded me of God speaks to me just very boldly, very just crisply, and to the point. And there was a period of my life, it was after about 10 years of walking with the Lord, and He just one day flat out said, grow up, Deanna. Grow up. He said, you know, He brought that verse to my mind where He said, by now some of you should be teachers, you're still nursing on the milk. And what He actually said to me was that I was going to experience a spiritual anorexia if I continued to try to live on regurgitated word. That if all that I did was listened to other people's sermons, you know, the benefit of what they gained by their personal sacrifice of time, commitment, dedication, consecration, you know, into the throne room of God. They went in there and they got their fresh manna, and praise God they were sharing it with me, but God said, you cannot live on that alone. You can't. You need to be able to come to me, hear me, experience me. And so He gave me this teaching that I ended up doing at a women's retreat one time about shunning the things of God. And this is what He said to share. This is, you know, when we take that word, when I chew on that one focus word that God's given me each day, I put it through this process. And this is exactly what you were talking about. Inspiration. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's dropped into me like a seed from heaven, but I can't just, you know, leave that seed there unattended. Revelation. I take that inspired word and I ask God to reveal all that He wants me to know about that word, something fresh, not leaning on my own understanding, not, you know, through my muddied filter of what I've already been taught, something fresh. Meditation, I meditate on it all day long, all through the day. I bring my mind back to that. Application, how do I apply this? What do I do with this? How do I work this word? And then there's transformation. I'm transformed. The renewing of my mind happens by chewing on this word of God. So I wanted to share that. Had to be obedient. Hope that's helpful for somebody. That's how I hear and I discern. I just continue to bring it back before God. Now, the word for today. Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. I hear a lot of silence out here, and I hope that I haven't dropped and I'm just talking to myself. The word for today for the group is listen. Listen. And the two verses, Matthew 11:15 and Mark 4:9, he says, "He who has ears, let him hear." Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." He says, "Hear my voice. Hear my voice. Listen. I whisper. I speak to you in the still of your spirit, in the secret place I meet with you. Won't you join me? I long to spend time with you. Please come away, my beloved. I'm waiting and longing to show you some beautiful things. Take a walk with me. Share yourself with me. Stop hiding and trying to fix those things you despise on your own. You need me. You were created to need me. That longing you feel is for me, for my presence. The emptiness you experience is when you try to fill that void with anything other than me. All that is in the earth is temporary. It's fading. It's but a vapor. It cannot keep you like I can, cannot sustain, protect, provide, satisfy, like my love for you. Stop visiting me for brief moments of distress and then accusing me of not being there for you. I am always here for you. I am your ever-present help in time of need. I deserve more than an occasional visit. Build your heart's home in my presence. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. In my presence is fullness of joy, and my joy is your strength. Do you hear me? My sheep hear my voice. Listen, I am calling you. Come away, my beloved."
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing these devotionals. They're just sensational. Christina Babulel, if you are on the line, could you please hit *6 and announce yourself?
Hello?
Christina, how are you, darling?
I'm good.
Wonderful. Christina, would you share just very briefly with the ladies, a little bit about your journey and where you need breakthrough today? And then Deanna, I'm going to have you lead out, and then I'll close with a prayer for Christina, but of course also for all of the women who are praying for breakthroughs. So Christina, go ahead, and then Deanna will pick up. Just lead right in when Christina's done sharing. Go ahead.
Okay, well, briefly, my journey for the last 10 months has been, I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Since then, they have removed the tumors, I have gone through chemotherapy, and I am now on the other side of that, totally believing that God has healed me and will keep me healed from cancer returning. But since then, my relationship with my daughter, Lydia, who is 12, has gotten worse. We argue a lot, and it gets very heated. And I just pray for her, because I know that through this whole thing, I've lost emotional filters, etc. So it upsets me because I don't like fighting with my daughter. Daily, I'm battling with the fear, just little seeds get planted in my head. What if it comes back? Oh my goodness, you have a pain in your abdomen. You know, what if? Also, financially, my husband had to take a lot of time off work while I was sick so he could drive me to the hospital and for my chemo treatments, and we've compiled a little bit of debt. And then through all this, though, God has been gracious, and I've been asked to speak at a women's ministry meeting coming up next week. And so I'm just praying for direction, that I don't focus on the negative and focus on the power and what God has done. And there has been so much that he has done for me and my family during this whole situation.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Father God. We thank you for all that is in your word for us. We thank you that you said that you did not give us a spirit of fear. That is a spirit. We command that spirit to leave in the name of Jesus. You have given us a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And we declare over Christina and over every woman that is listening, over every woman that will ever hear this, listen to the word of the Lord. We have power, we have love, and we have a sound mind. We have perfect peace because we have Jesus. Jesus, you said that we pray from a place of victory because you overcame it all on the cross. The work that you accomplished, you said, it is finished. It is finished. We are not asking for it to happen. We are proclaiming that it has already happened in heaven. It is already done by your stripes. We are healed. We are healed. We are healed in our body. Cancer has to die. Sickness has to leave. Doubt has to flee. We have to confess these things that are doubtful in our minds, that they've exalted themselves above what your word says. You have given her a free and clear report. She has today. All that any of us have is today. We give you glory for today. We give you the breath that we have for today. We thank you for today. We thank you that what we have, that our steps are ordered for today. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We're not going to borrow energy from tomorrow by worrying about tomorrow. None of us have a promise of tomorrow, but we have today. I thank you for your spirit of reconciliation, your spirit that reconciles us first to you, that softens our heart, that makes us sensitive to the needs of others. I thank you for all of us that have children. I thank you for the seven that I have, Father God, for the six that I'm raising up, for those teenage years and those preteen years where there's so much confusion and rallying and fighting and pitting. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to listen.
Yes.
Listen. Listen to you. What do you say about our children? What are your instructions that each of our individual, very unique, very amazing children need? What do they need? Listen to our children. What do they need? Not what do we want them to have. Not what we feel they need to know. These very things that we learned about today, dividing our soul from the spirit. Not what we think, what we feel, what we want. What do you say, Lord? Speak. Father God, regarding finances, you know our needs. You are our provider. You go before us. I ask, Father God, that you would help us to have faith in knowing that you provide. Again, not looking so many days ahead to what we don't have, focusing on the problem, the solution. You are creative. You are a giver. You love us. You said that if you provide for the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, how much more that you love your children do you provide? Help us to not cross over that line of doubt, falling then into the trap of self-provision. We do not have to stress out. You love us. You provide for us. You are good. You are love. I thank you for the opportunity that you give each of us as ministers called to share your good news. Each of us have a speaking platform, some very big, some very small, but each have a seed inside of us. Our rivers of living water that flow out of our bellies, and they flow out over to the dry, parched people that you cross in our path. I thank you for all of these opportunities, and I ask that our words would be inspired by your Holy Spirit, that we would be bold and confident and always ready to give an account of the source of our hope, so that you will be glorified, so that you will be made known in the earth, so that your plans will be ushered forth. We wage the good fight, Father God, with the prophetic words that you've spoken us. Paul told Timothy to use those prophetic words to fight the good fight of faith. We use those words. We don't stand on those words in hope. We fight with those words that you've given us. You've told us that you reconcile. You reconcile. Reconcile us to yourself. Reconcile us to our children. Bring our children back to you, and that we may enjoy a full, filled, loving relationship, and with our spouses as well, our extended family members. Let us be a living example of Christ, the hope of glory in us. We thank you and we praise you for these things in Jesus' name.
Amen, Christine. I want to share a couple of practical things, and then I want to pray for you. And when I pray for you, I want to demonstrate for all the women how I'm going to use that solution, that acronym that I just gave them. So I want them to kind of follow along. I hope they've written it down. I'm going to show them how I'll use that as a model prayer to pray over you today. First, from a practical perspective, it was around 12, when my oldest daughter was 12, she's now 22, that I read the books of five love languages. And I realized that I was not speaking my daughter's love language. My love language is gifts. If you really love me, you buy me a present. And I was just buying her presents all the time. But yet our relationship was a train wreck. I mean, it was really, really bad. And when I read the book, I just sobbed because I realized that her love language was quality time. And I was giving her, you know, my language. I was buying her presents and saying nice things, words of affirmation. It was not her language. She wanted me to just sit, put everything away, and focus on her eyeball to eyeball, which, to be quite frank, being a very driven person, was the one thing I never gave her, and it was the one thing she needed most. So I would absolutely get a hold of that book, Five Love Languages, and there's even one, Five Love Languages for Children. Find out her love language and be very intentional about speaking it to her. And as far as your finances, I would contact the credit card that you're indebted to and find out about debt forgiveness because of your medical condition. And I just believe maybe God will give you grace and favor, perhaps write them a letter. I would start with like the president's office, find out, you know, let's say it's Visa, start at the highest and try to get a secretary and work your way down rather than calling into customer service and working your way up. Okay, so those are the practical things. I'm going to take a sip of water and then I'm going to pray over you. Father, I thank you that we come into your presence today and we don't talk about the problem. We talk about the solution. And the solution, Lord, is to walk in the healing that you have already given. God, I thank you that you have already solved this problem. You have already given the doctor's wisdom. You have already given Christina so many keys, God. I watched her on Facebook. I watched her wage this battle in the spirit. I watched her day after day after day proclaiming her confidence in you. I thank you, God, that she chose in the midst of a very difficult problem to keep her eyes on you, and she honored you throughout that journey, and she shared it with all of those people on Facebook, and I thank you for the way that she glorified you in that situation. Lord, I thank you now that she's coming out of this time of being consumed with her own fight, and she can focus on others. And Lord, that's why you have opened this door for her to speak, because now is the time for her to really be pouring into others who are taking this same journey through cancer so that she can comfort others with the comfort she herself has received. And that word comfort literally means called alongside. And God, I believe that you are going to call her alongside other women who are facing this battle with cancer, that she might be a blessing to them. God, I thank you that she can lean on your word today. Your word says that she has life. You came that she might have life and have it to the full. And I say that she has a full life. She lives 80, 90, 100 years, and she lives in health, and she walks in power. God, we turn our eyes upward today. We look full in your wonderful face. And we're not thankful for cancer, but Lord, we're thankful that you're the healer. We're thankful that you give her purpose and meaning. through this painful journey. We fix our eyes upon you with gratitude. We come into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. We thank you for the healing that you've given her. God, we thank you for the thought that you've given her today, that she has life, life, life more abundant, and that you have appointed the number of her days. And we intentionally, God, we intentionally agree with you that you are her provider. We intentionally agree with you that you are her healer. We intentionally agree with you what you have spoken over the lives of her daughter, that the generation of the upright will be blessed. And so we agree with you rather than what the circumstances would lead us to believe. And we obey you, God. And we obey instantly, God. You have given her an assignment to go and to share with these women about her journey. And so today, she's going to be obedient. She's going to be about the Father's business as she prepares that message and prepares her heart to deliver. And last of all, God, we thank you for the new thing that you are doing in her life. You have raised her up now as a spokesperson in the body of Christ. You have appointed her to be a voice for you and a spokesperson to the body of Christ and to the world at large, that cancer is not the final diagnosis. Cancer does not have the last word. Our God has the last word, and that word is life. Amen. Thanks, ladies. That's a wrap. We look forward to being with you here tomorrow, 21 days, empowering you for breakthrough. Amen and amen. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.